pinpointing that discrepancy, that's really the big question, isn't it? It's a tough one. It's a question of cultural change for companies, and there's no denying that that the amount of women that graduate from tertiary education is higher in comparison to men. So for companies, it's a question of not actually utilizing all the women in that talent pool. So it's a missed economic opportunity. But as well, to see the amount of women slowly decline as you go throughout the corporate pyramid, there's really no excuse for it. So what companies have progressively been doing is appointing more women to their boards. And they're actually quite successful at that. But obviously, appointing a woman to your board is something very different than facilitating the career progression throughout the corporate ranks, where the actual pipeline is obviously much narrower.
Okay. I mean, I was really shocked to see in this topic area that of the ASX 50 companies, there were actually more CEOs named Andrew than there were female CEOs. So does this, I mean, there's such a big discrepancy, does that affect the way that women's voices are heard in the corporate world?
Well, I mean, to come back to the point I made about boards, I think that because women are more and more represented on boards, they have a bigger voice on the board. And thus, I would imagine that management and the male CEOs and sort of the male-dominated management groups would have a harder time explaining to their board why there are so little women on the boards. In executive management. But still, it's a discrepancy that's really that requires explaining. And the thing is, companies have started to report much better on the issue due to the changes to the ASX corporate governance principles and recommendations. But where the reporting has gone much better, it's just simply not followed with performance.
Okay. And in your article, you mention a need for a critical mass of women in these top positions. So can you explain a bit about what you meant by that?
Well, it's based on the research, an article that I read, and it's well cited. And it basically said that, well, if you have one woman on the board, it's usually regarded as tokenism. And if you have two or more women on the board, they start to constitute a critical mass, whereas other board members would not necessarily just see them as sort of just a female board member, but they become more of the female voice on the board, if you will. And similarly with executive management, there are a fair amount of companies that have so-called mentorship. So if you have a strong woman in a senior position, they can obviously help other women progress. And not to say that this is not equally the task of men, but to have a female champion and an example of someone that has done it is a good example for both women aspiring to climb the corporate ranks and a good example for the male environment to say, hey, listen, you know, there's really no excuse for a woman not to be, you know, amongst us and have this this position in this corporation.
I wanted to hit on a point that you mentioned earlier about disclosure. So you mentioned that there was sort of a change in the rules for 2010 about disclosure of just the gender representation in these important roles. So have you seen, or do you think that increasing the amount of disclosure of this information to the public, has that really made the companies get their act together and sort of strive for equality?
It's a good question because there's always the, because we looked at ASX 50 companies, those are the bigger companies, those are the household names, and they have to worry about their public relations. So there's a PR factor in this for them. As well, what the corporation defines as management, you can tinker with that. So they can manipulate their figures to make it look slightly better. I think that transparency in itself is a good thing, and it helps civil society organizations such as Catalyst Australia, who performed this this research. It helps them to sort of point the finger on the sore spot. So I think it's helped to make it more of a public issue, and it's provided more transparency. But it hasn't, to be honest, since these changes came in 2010, it hasn't facilitated change to the degree that I expected it would.
Okay, it seems like it's sort of a cultural issue, it's sort of ingrained in the culture. So I was going to ask, what can companies do to create a really supportive organizational culture where gender equality is something which is seen as just as a given or something that should be happening on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's more and more policies and practices that companies are implementing. The most common practice is a flexible working arrangement. But what we see is that, well, that's not actually what we see, but it's based on research by the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, that there is only a very small, like less than a percent of the senior management roles that are actually that allow for flexible working arrangements. So, you know, you can be flexible, but you know, obviously, the higher you get in the corporate pyramid, the tougher the job becomes, and the less easy it is to be flexible. I mean, there are other arrangements that companies can implement. They can have jobs sharing, or they can have facilitate, you know, childcare facilities or subsidies to make it easier for mothers to still participate in the workforce to the degree that they want to. But yeah, I mean, establishing cultural change is really it's a difficult thing to do, and you know, the policies and practices that are in place at present don't seem to be actually making the difference that is required. So, anyone who's got the clear-cut answer to that question,
come forward.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's not to say that companies are not like trying their best, but I think that, you know, and this is why I made the earlier point about the economic or the financial imperative about utilizing all the women in the talent pool, because it's really, you know, if you consider the women graduating from tertiary education and the fact that, you know, they haven't progressed through the corporate ranks, I mean, seriously, come on, like any company, that this is all talent waiting to be hired, you know. So if a company doesn't establish it on the basis of it's the right thing to do, then surely they would do it on the fact that there's a financial imperative for them there.
Well, it seems as though there are sort of some steps in place to change the culture around gender equality in this field, but it seems like there's a lot more work to be done. Martin, thanks so much for coming in and discussing this topic with us today.
My pleasure.